As I said, thoughts are things. And the gathering of thoughts is extremely important in the fact that we are people here that hopefully are more positive than the average. So by gathering these vibrating thoughts that are concretized and are looking for the positive, maybe we can produce a point of light that will do something to help turn the world a little bit more positive. This group by itself, of course, wouldn't turn on the light for the whole world, but it's at least a start. You know, we got to start somewhere. You know, if other groups are doing the same thing and people getting fed up, saying I'm fed up with the negativity, we want to concentrate on something more positive than just doomsday tomorrow. Then if enough people do it, then the light that will be created can change things and turn things around. And when there's more light introduced, even people like our boneheaded congressman can actually pick it up and think, maybe I shouldn't do this or should do this. You know, it actually makes them just a little bit smarter, if you can imagine that. So, because the government of any country is kind of a reflection of the consciousness of the people themselves. And what I find interesting is that many of the third world countries that have had dictatorships in the past and present have modeled their constitution after the Constitution of the United States. But what's funny about that is that a lot of them are just as tyrannical as Kim Jong-il is. You know, it's amazing. And, you think, but they got a constitution like us. How come they don't have freedom? And why don't they have freedom? It doesn't matter what you have written if your consciousness is not equal to what is written. If your consciousness is not equal to the freedoms in the U.S. Constitution, then they might as well not have one. So a lot of these ten-horned dictators, if you read their constitutions, some of them have some pretty good constitutions. And you think, boy, this is a free country. But then when you study it, you find out it's not free at all. That it's ruled by a tyrant of some kind or a military dictatorship or whatever. And when you study the people, you find out that the people are getting what they deserve according to their consciousness. But even if you have no constitution, even if a country had no constitution at all, or a bad constitution, if it had good people, it would have produced a good government. A good government depends on the people being enlightened and people of goodwill. If you have an enlightened people of goodwill, then good will follow. And eventually the good stuff will be written down in maybe a constitution. But that's no guarantee you're going to have a good government. The only guarantee of good government is that the people are good. And this makes it doubly important when we think of it, of looking that 23 degrees upward. 23 degrees is, 45 degrees is about like that, 90 degrees like that. 23 degrees is just a little bit upward. I don't know how the guy come up with 23 degrees that wrote this, but I thought it was interesting. You know, it just struck me as an interesting observation about meditation I never heard of before. Yeah. Yeah. In other words, just put your gaze just a little upward, and that's about all you can expect of most people. Just be more positive than negative. Just be more positive than negative. You know, the world will be a lot better place.
Okay, in Machu Picchu and around Peru, when they have earthquakes, their buildings don't crash and fall because the original people that were there built their doors and the hinges were at 23 degrees. And they said at 23 degrees it won't crash when you have an earthquake, but at 90 degrees it will.
I wonder, it'd be interesting where else we'd find that 23 degrees at.
Okay,
Isn't the North Pole, or isn't the magnetic pole about 23 degrees off the north or something? Can't remember. I'll have to look that up. Okay, what everyone has looked forward to since the beginning of civilization. They have dreamed of the ideal country, the ideal society. And in the Bible, they've always called this Zion. And I like the name Zion. I have a Mormon background, so Mormons are really big on using that word. Mormons and Jews are big on using that word. And even though it's in the Bible a lot, all the other Christian religions pretty much ignore that word. But it's a good word. And people have different ideas of what a Zion society is. And basically, what most people think it is, it's going to be peace on earth, goodwill to men, and an organization, a worldwide government established by God where everybody's going to be happy and at peace and going to have prosperity and everything's going to be the ideal living conditions. Do you think that'll ever be where everybody's happy?
No.
No. Whatever we create, even if the wisest master in the universe came down here and says, okay, this is the ideal government, we're going to create it, what percentage of the people do you think would be happy with it?
23.
23? Yeah, maybe that's it. Yeah, 23% maybe. You know, a lot of people just... when you read the letters of the statesman or letters of the editor of any paper, a lot of people just grumble almost to be grumbling, you know. And some people have legitimate gripes, and others just, you'd think, well, has this guy been just looking for something to complain about? And oftentimes when you talk to just people in general and they start talking, like when Artie and I have customers that we deal with, often they start grumbling about all kinds of things going on out there. And a lot of people, it's just their niche to be grumbling about something, you know. And like I say, some people have legitimate gripes and are legitimate gripes to grumble about, but a lot of people just grumble to be grumbling. So even if the wisest master in the universe came here and established the government, yeah, you're right, there'd be a lot of people that'd be unhappy about it. It's especially in for probably take 2-3 generations to get all the grumblers kind of watered down so they're eliminated. But if a society lives in a certain condition, a peaceable condition for a couple generations, then it's possible that we'll have a lot larger percentage content if it's a good government. Which is interesting, when Moses delivered the children of Israel from the Egypt, and he went up to the mountaintop, God told him, these people are completely unworkable. This was after they built the golden calf, you remember. So these people are unworkable. I'm going to destroy them, and we'll just start with you as the breeder here, Moses, and we'll start a whole new civilization, you know, just starting from scratch, because these people are pretty much scum, you know. And Moses says, look, God, he says, I put a lot of work in these people, and furthermore, you're going to look silly. The Egyptians are going to say, look, you took them out in the middle of a desert and then wiped them out, and they're going to think you're a pretty dumb God. God says, well, yeah, it does look a little silly, all right. And Moses, furthermore, he says, I'm not going to cooperate. You cannot produce a seed from me because I'm not going to cooperate.
That's in the Bible?
Yeah. And so God says, you...
verbatim.
Yeah, this is verbatim, the way it is. Got it all memorized. And anyway, Moses says, no, I'm not going to cooperate. So if you don't get any seed out of me and you destroy them, it's going to make you into a liar. And God can't lie. So you're in a bind, God. He says, I've got you checkmated. God says, well, got me in the corner, all right. He says, well, here's what I'm going to do then. Since you won't cooperate and you insist I keep these people alive, I'm going to keep them alive, but they're going to wander in the desert for 40 years and then after they're all killed off, we'll start with the next generation. And so that's why Moses wandered in the desert for 40 years, because God was waiting for him to all die. And it's interesting that even though God kept his word, he did kind of sneak in a way to get rid of them all. He had them all die, every single one of them, like I think there's like 3-4 million people. They all died within 40 years, except for Moses and Joshua and Aaron, and I believe Miriam. Except for those four people, they all died, every single one of them, in 40 years' time. So God sneaked in, killing them after all. He kind of snuck that in a way that Moses didn't prevent Moses from cooperating.